CBSI on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Two wars confronting the United States of America. And meanwhile, back home, the federal government responding to the needs of the White House and the Congress in the transformation of the federal government, especially the warfighting part of it, into the cloud and then into artificial intelligence. All that is going on simultaneously, the transition underway. And Francis Rose, the host of FedGov Today, a podcast twice a week, a television show on Nation's Capital on Channel 7 on Sunday mornings. Conversations with three men who are part of the transition team from data centers of the 20th century into the cloud of the 21st and then beyond that into artificial intelligence. Francis, a very good evening to you. FITARA, the FITARA scorecard. I understand the agencies involved in translating for the DOD and other warfighters are doing very well on the FITARA scorecard. Introduce us to David Powner and his part, and what is the scorecard? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program, as always. So rewind to about 2014, 2015, Congressman Daryl Issa, Republican from California, and Jerry Connelly, Democrat from Virginia, didn't agree on much, but agreed that the information technology situation in the federal government was not as strong as it could be. They created a piece of legislation called the Federal Information Technology Reform Act, FITARA, and they, as a part of this law, charged the Government Accountability Office with creating a scorecard to assess how the cabinet-level agencies in the federal government were doing on various aspects of information technology. You mentioned cloud, cybersecurity was another one, and there were a number of others. There have been at various times 8 to 10 different things that the agencies are graded on the FITARA scorecard. Dave Powner was at the Government Accountability Office at that time, and he was the leader of GAO's effort to create and then evaluate create the scorecard and then evaluate the agencies and grade them on that scorecard, and oversaw the first, I believe it was 6 or 8 of those scorecards. We're now up to grade number 16. And this week on my program, Dave talked about where the agencies are, how they're achieving the goals that Congress has set for them, and what the scorecard is grading now versus what he and some of his colleagues, both currently and formerly in government, think the scorecard should start grading moving forward, with scorecard number 17 that we expect to see in about 6 months, John.
Yes, and a lot of people are getting A's. Good for them. Time to change the question. You asked a very trenchant point. Are they preparing for the test, or are they preparing to improve themselves? Now, Francis, this involves all technology. I'm focusing on not cloud anymore. That's old news. It's AI. And you had a conversation with the chief data scientist and director of the Innovation Lab at the GAO, Taka Arega, and he talked of Artificial Intelligence Accountability Framework. What is that?
So that's a framework that the Government Accountability Office has described because one of their jobs, as mentioned with the FITARA scorecard a moment ago, is auditing and overseeing the agencies, the executive branch agencies, for how they're doing on various issues. And his area of expertise at the Data Innovation Lab is data and artificial intelligence. And this framework is something that he and his colleagues created in order to be able to, in a replicable, efficient way, examine how organizations are doing regarding artificial intelligence. And the main things that they look at regarding AI, there are a number of them, and there's a link to the framework on the FedGov Today website. But the main things that they're looking at are bias in the algorithms and in the cleanliness and the maintenance of the data that the agencies use to feed the algorithms to create the results of whatever they're applying the artificial intelligence to.
Now, what I liked about Dave, listening to him, and Taka, they don't seem frightened of artificial intelligence, Francis. We get all these science fiction stories about how we're all going to be either working for robots or they won't need us because we're mortal. These men were definitely mortal, and it's just another tool. Did I hear them correctly?
Yeah, that's the overwhelming theme that everybody talks about. There's a real hesitancy that I hear in all of my conversations about AI to think about AI as a thing itself. Artificial intelligence, the government officials I talk to are being very careful about thinking about AI as a tool to do something else and not something, the term that I use from time to time is pixie dust to sprinkle on to some problem. They're trying to think about the problems first. And then when they're thinking about the problems and getting to a solution, would AI be a tool to reach that solution? So they're trying to think about it the right way, I think, rather than, hey, let's go find some problem that we can apply some artificial intelligence technology to.
Dan Folliard, Chief Digital and AI Officer at U.S. Special Operations Command. In other words, the teams that jump out of airplanes are going towards AI. And so immediately I had this image of a robot jumping out of the back of an airplane or a human who's been converted semi-robot. You know, the $6 million man? That would be the $60 billion man today with inflation. And Dan Folliard also doesn't seem intimidated by AI, but he did use some language that was tempting. Move at machine speed. What does that mean, Francis?
Moving at the speed of the machine is exactly toward the line of thinking that you just described. It's not all the way there. It's not turning people into machines, but it's allowing humans to make decisions at the speed of machines, because AI will provide the technology, provide the tool, as we just talked about, to allow a human to analyze data at speeds that are much faster than they were able to do so just a year or two or 3 years ago. And that's what Special Operations Command is interested in, based on the conversation I had with Dan Folliard, is what can we do to enable the warfighter at the tip of the spear, that person jumping out of the airplane or that person that's making a decision in the splittest of split seconds. I don't think that's a word, but I'll use it anyway. How can we enable that person to make the decision as quickly as they possibly can to save lives, to avoid, to deter conflict, or to win conflict if they need to? That's really what Special Operations Command and what the military more broadly is all about. And that's what they believe AI can do for them. And one of Dan's jobs is to explore exactly how AI can do that for them.
Yeah, I think my notes are correct. Dan made the distinction between using AI for tactical decisions. That would be what happens when you hit the ground after you jumped out of an airplane. And people who are hungry for performance. How can we do better in the next exercise? And that's how I heard him. Did you hear him that way?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And one of the things that I think they're all careful to talk about is, and I ask about it on an ongoing basis, is, you know, the military's mission is to deter or win conflict, but that's not the only thing that they do, is not blowing stuff up and beating the bad guys or preventing the bad guys from doing stuff. There's a tremendous amount of opportunity, especially for artificial intelligence in all of the back office operations and all the acquisition and financial management that the military does, and maintenance. There's a lot of AI use cases and pilot programs across the military in preventative maintenance prediction, all kinds of things like that, where military is using AI in ways that, you know, I hear about them and I'm surprised, and I shouldn't be anymore. And I still am, because there are so many innovative ways that they're doing so.
Francis Rose, FedGov Today. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.